Good morning, everybody. This is JB West on the D-Day beaches of Normandy. And all the way halfway around the world, I have got JB East in New Zealand. How are you doing, JB East?
Well, I'm doing good, but the sun went down, so I can't see you there in France. I'm here in New Zealand.
Not only is James Bradley and I separated by a lot of latitude, we're also separated by longitude. I'm 40 degrees north and he's 40 degrees south. So we're about as far away from each other as we can possibly get.
And that's the good part. I'm handling JB East is handling the eastern part of the world. And we got Jeff with his binoculars looking at everything in the west.
The reason James and I are on the show today is we have a couple of Vladimir Putin, you should know, but if you don't, the president of Russia, in a couple of speeches recently has a very, very powerful and moving message, not only for the global 1% elites, but also to give hope to the long-suffering 99%. And so James is going to read the summarize the first speech, and I'm going to summarize the second, and then we're going to talk about it afterwards. So take it away, James.
Now, these are summaries, folks, and you'll see the full speeches in the information below. So Vladimir Putin starts talking about sanctions. And he says, clearly, the West tried to do more than just hit the Russian economy hard. Their goal was to sow discord and confusion in our society and to demoralize our people. But here, too, they failed since nothing came of it. And I am sure nothing ever will. Now, this so-called collective West, led by the United States, has been extremely aggressive towards Russia for decades. Our Russian proposals to create a system of equal security in Europe have been rejected. Initiatives for cooperation have been rejected. Warnings about the unacceptability of NATO expansion, especially at the expense of our former republics of the Soviet Union, were ignored. Even the idea of Russia's possible integration into NATO has been rejected as absurd by NATO's members. Why? Why? Just because they do not need a country like Russia. That is why. That is why they supported terrorism and separatism in Russia and internal destructive forces and a fifth column in our country. All of these are still receiving unconditional support from the collective West. Now, we are being told, we hear some people say that we started the war in Donbass in Ukraine. No, the war was unleashed by the collective West, which organized and supported the unconstitutional armed coup in Ukraine in 2014. And then the West encouraged and justified genocide against the people of Donbass. The collective West is the direct instigator and the culprit of what is happening today. If the West wanted to provoke a conflict in order to move on to a new stage in the fight against Russia and a new stage in containing our country, we can say that it has succeeded to a certain extent. A war was unleashed and the sanctions were imposed. Under normal circumstances, it would probably be difficult to accomplish this. But here is what I would like to make clear to you. The West should have realized that they would lose from the very beginning of our special military operation, because this operation also means the beginning of a radical breakdown of the U.S.-style world order. This is the beginning of the transition from the liberal globalist American egocentrism to a truly multipolar world based not on self-serving rules made up by someone for their own needs, behind which there is nothing but striving not on a hypocritical double standards, but on international law. Okay, so what he's saying there, this is paragraph's difficult to read, but I want to repeat that this is the beginning of a radical breakdown of the U.S.-style world order. And then he goes on. Everyone in the world should understand that this process, this breakdown of the U.S. world order, cannot be stopped. The course of history is inexorable, and the collective West's attempts to impose its new world order on the rest of us in the world are doomed. At the same time, I want to say and emphasize that we have many supporters. Russia has many supporters, including in the United States and Europe, and even more so on other continents and in other countries. And there will be more supporting us. There is no doubt about that. Now, to repeat, even in the countries that are still satellites of the United States, there is a growing understanding that their ruling elites' blind obedience to their overlord, as a rule, does not necessarily coincide with their national interests, and most often simply and even radically contradicts their interests. Everyone will have to face this growing sentiment in society. Today, these ruling elites are raising the degree to which they manipulate the public consciousness right before our eyes. The ruling classes of the Western countries, which are supranational and globalist in nature, realize that their policies are increasingly detached from reality, detached from common sense and the truth. And these elites have started resorting to openly despotic methods. Now listen, the West, which once declared principles of democracy, freedom of speech, pluralism, and respect for dissenting opinions, has now degenerated into the opposite, totalitarianism. I mean, folks, this is the president of Russia saying that we are totalitarian, totalitarianism. This includes censorship, media bans, and the arbitrary treatment of journalists and public figures. These kinds of prohibitions have been extended not only to the information space, but also to politics, culture, education, and art, to all spheres of public life in the Western countries. And they are imposing this on the world. They are trying to impose this model, a model of totalitarian liberalism, including the notorious cancel culture of widespread bans. However, the truth and reality is that people in most of these countries do not want this life or this future, and really do not want the formal semblance of sovereignty. They want substantive, real sovereignty, and are simply tired of kneeling, of humiliating themselves to those who consider themselves exceptional, and of serving their interests even to their detriment. Today, we hear they want to defeat us on the battlefield. Well, what can I say? Let them try. We have already heard a lot about the West wanting to fight us to the last Ukrainian. This is a tragedy for the Ukrainian people, but that seems to be where it is going. But everyone should know that by and large, we have not started anything in earnest yet. So I'm done. Thank you for tolerating my mispronunciations. And here's Jeff with the second recent speech by Vladimir Putin.
Thank you. Thank you, James. And the second speech by Putin, which is an outstanding rejoinder to what you just summarized, he talks about today is a truly revolutionary transformation that is gaining momentum and getting stronger. He's talking about the global revolutionary transformation. These enormous changes are irreversible. And he is talking about how global processes are underway to develop principles of harmonious, fair, community-focused, and a safe world order. Compared to the current existing world order, the unipolar world order, which we have been living in under the Western hegemony. And he uses a very interesting term. He talks about the model of total domination by the so-called golden billion is unfair. Why should this golden billion, which I think includes obviously North America, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Taiwan, and South Korea, you add up populations and it's about a billion people. Why should this golden billion, the global population, dominate everyone else and enforce its rules of conduct that are based on the illusion of exceptionalism? It divides the world in first and essentially racist and neocolonial. The underlying globalist and pseudo-liberal ideology, how the golden billion attained its goal, not by hard work, but because they robbed people, the peoples of Asia, Africa, and I can add North America, South America, Oceania. He even points out India was robbed for an extensive period of time. This is why the golden billion are terrified of other global development centers potentially coming up with their own development alternatives. No matter how much the West and the supranational elite strive to preserve the existing order, a new era and a new stage in world history are coming. Only genuinely sovereign states are in a position to ensure high growth and to become a role model for others for higher standards of living, higher quality of life, protection of traditional values and humanistic ideals, and development models where an individual is not a means, but the ultimate goal. Sovereignty is about freedom of national development and thus the development of every individual. It is about the technological, cultural, intellectual, and educational solvency of a state. I am convinced that in order to be strong, independent, and competitive, we need to improve the mechanisms for people to participate in the country's life and to make them more open and fair. That includes mechanisms for direct democracy and people's involvement in addressing the critical problems facing society and the public. Thank you, James.
Okay, so I'd encourage all the listeners to read these speeches themselves. I think Jeff and I could talk a lot about this, break it down, but you'd be better off reading the words. And my bottom line is that I was told to look at all governments like mafia families and the leaders as mafia dons. And then you can understand international relations a little better. And so what I would say is the West took a shot at, I lived in New York. This is like the West lives in Manhattan and Putin's out there in Brooklyn. And the West took a shot at Putin and they missed. And now the mafia families that missed are being seen as not that strong. And Putin is announcing a new day, folks, the end of this Western game. And I think he's right.
More like a Western racket, to be honest. The protection rackets. This reminds me, James, as we start to close out, this reminds me of our recent show that we did about Mao Zedong and Ho Chi Minh, why they won. And of course, Mao was the great leader for liberating China, and Ho Chi Minh was the spiritual, soul and leader of the Vietnamese people, who went on to gain their liberation. Also, they basically, a lot of this, they said the same thing. It was a simpler, more Western imperialism and global capitalism. But they were basically saying the same thing. So I think
Can I just interrupt there? They were visionaries. They were saying the same thing. But I'd say the difference is, Ho Chi Minh didn't have the power to change the payment systems of the world. And yeah. Mao didn't have the power in 1949 to dethrone the U.S. dollar. Mao wasn't a extremely rich emperor like Xi is, but think back to Mao. Russia was bleeding 30 million men in World War II, yeah. And they had to recover. Now we got two very strong countries with a lot of resources and a lot of manufacturing. And he has just announced that we're going to do something. We are going to change the financial mechanisms, the power of the West. I mean, the West lost in China and in Vietnam. So you could say that's kind of a decline. But now we're at the end of an era. We're coming to the end of the dollar as the main power source, where the mafia family with the dollar can push everyone around. And Putin is saying, you failed with your sanctions. You gave us your strongest shot. And now most of the world is against you, West. They're not going to put up with it. And we're going to change things, starting with the money.
Absolutely true. And also militarily, because NATO is struggling to provide arms to Ukraine, and Russia learned their lessons in World War II about not having enough ammunition, and they're not running out of hypersonic missiles and laser guided missiles in Ukraine, and China is definitely well equipped to defend itself. So it's monetary and it's military. And right now, if I had to make a bet, I would sure bet on China and Russia, who have the backs of Iran, which borders Russia, and the DPRK, which borders Russia and China, making up the Asian Quad. I would sure bet on the Asian Quad and not take any odds on NATO right now, and the Western system. So I want to close out by saying I am incredibly optimistic. I am incredibly hopeful. This is history making. These speeches are absolutely a declaration of freedom and hope and independence for the global 99%. And I think the 1%, whom I call the global trillionaire dictatorship, must be very, very concerned right now. What do you think, James?
Well, I think I still can't see you. It's still dark out, but I'm glad we did this. And read the speeches, folks. Read the future. We're not trying to sell you it, not trying to convince you of anything, but somebody stood up and predicted what the future is going to look like. Read the speeches and let's wait and see if he's right. So Jeff, this is JB West, I'll say good night. You go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Well, JB East, enjoy your dinner, and I'm going to go have breakfast.
Okay, signing off. See you, Jeff.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.